Hey everyone, welcome to the Pot Awareness Podcast, and thanks for joining me. This podcast is specifically for about educating and raising awareness for animals and rescues and organizations across the United States and world. It really goes a long way towards this mission when our listeners rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, and all of our other podcast platforms. Also, be sure to check us out on our official website at pawawareness.org and on social media at TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram at pawawareness_podcast. You can check us out for all of our latest bits and clips of our podcast, as well as Pet of the Week and Pet of the Month. If you're listening and involved with an animal rescue organization or have a story of your own that you want to share, reach out to us at info@pawawareness.org and we can get you on the podcast. Thanks for watching, and I hope you enjoy this episode. Hey everyone, welcome to this episode of the Paw Awareness Podcast. Today I'm sitting down with Nikki Lowe, Program Director of CARE STL, STL meaning St. Louis. And thank you so much for coming on and just introducing yourself and getting to talk with me. I'm going to go ahead and pass it over to you and share a little bit about the organization.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us on here today. I'm really excited. So again, yes, my name is Nikki. I am the programs director here at CARE. I'm actually pretty new to the organization. The organization's been around for about 4 years now. We started up a few years back when our CEO noticed a huge issue going on in our city. Lots of animals were being euthanized, and we were in need of a huge change in our city for the animals. So she stepped in and created this phenomenal organization, and we are now the only no-kill shelter in the city that is open admissions. Last year we took in about 2,300 animals. This year we've already seen a 69% increase from that. So just since January to now, we've taken in just over 1,000 animals. So we are booming over here for sure.
What do you think has caused that kind of increase or influx in animals?
It's the housing system, and, you know, resources for the community. CARE actually offers community resources, but a lot of people don't have the means to go about finding who has resources for them in the community. So, you know, if landlords require pets to be up to date or require them to be neutered or whatever it is, people don't really know where to go to find that. There's also a huge issue with breed restrictions in our area too. A lot of pit bull restrictions.
Interesting. And is that everywhere in Missouri that has pit bull restrictions, or is that more of like a county thing?
Everyone's actually starting to really loosen up on the breed restrictions. We've seen a huge improvement the past few years, but there's still a lot of people that just won't budge on it. The city itself doesn't have restrictions. It's landlords that have the issues.
Gotcha. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And I feel like geographically, and we kind of touched on this just with this question, but they're kind of battling their own issues. And there's a bunch of different variables there. What does that look like for the Missouri region where you're at in the Midwest?
What do you mean with like breed restrictions?
No, just, I'm opening that up to like rescue in general. Like, what are some issues you're seeing? That's maybe like, are there a bunch of dogs on the street, or, I mean, is there a lack of education? I don't know. I'm curious to know more about what's going on in your area.
Yeah. So there is a huge lack of education. We actually offer a program here for minors to come in after school and kind of learn about kind of basic care and guidelines for an animal. And I mean, there's so much that these kids don't know that to us seems like common sense, but people just don't know. And so, yeah, it is a huge lack of education. There are just dogs running around. Our animal control officers pick up anywhere from 8 to 13 dogs they just find on the streets each day. And that's not counting all of our Good Samaritans who find animals kind of randomly walking around.
And I know that it's a shelter now, but it used to be, the organization used to be a pound, correct?
Yes.
And so can you talk about the differences there? Like what, you know, what makes the difference between a pound and a rescue?
Yeah. So when it was the city pound, they really were able to do just the bare minimum for dogs and cats included. There really weren't a ton of cats. Euthanasia was a lot higher just because they didn't have the means to sit on an animal for really any length of time and wait for somebody to come in and find it. And the people who would come in to look for animals for adoption, it just wasn't clean because a lot of the times situations like that rely on their animal control officers to do the cleaning. But then those are the same people that have to go out, pick up animals. So it was just, it's very unorganized and there's a lot going on and never enough people. So then when a rescue steps in, we're able to sit on the animals longer. We're able to hire staff who is just here for the day to take care of the animals.
And what has that been like for you since working there? I mean, you know, what for someone that's getting into rescue, what's your whole take on it? Why are you in rescue?
Yeah, so it's almost like a sickness. You get exhausted. Each day is worse than the day before, but you're here for the animals at the end of the day. You get to see these, you know, petrified, neglected animals come in who want nothing to do with anybody. And a couple weeks later, you're sending them off to their forever home and they're beyond excited. So I think at the end of the day, that's why we're, most of us are in this, because the outcome outweighs the stuff you go through.
Yeah. And that's exactly why I like talking with people and organizations, because it's not just the animals. It's a lot of people, a lot of volunteers, and just, you know, blood, sweat, and tears. So, yeah. And you mentioned having the animals for a few weeks. What's the typical, I guess, average turnaround time and of a dog you guys get?
Usually about a week to 2 weeks. We're really fortunate and have a lot of amazing fosters, so our dogs really don't stay in the shelter at all. Most of our dogs go immediately into foster home, which is why we're able to handle so many animals at a time, because a cage is typically opened up for them. But yeah, they usually get adopted pretty quick because we get to feature pictures of what they're like in a home opposed to being in a shelter.
And being St. Louis, you know, for anyone who's listening that doesn't realize how big St. Louis is, it's a pretty big town. So does that mean that you just focus on like St. Louis in particular, or what about those like surrounding towns?
Yeah, do anything like that? City is a requirement for us. All animals in St. Louis City have to be helped by us. So we take all strays. We have to take all owner surrenders. We do, however, when space allows it, help rural areas. We have quite a few rescue partners who help us a lot. We transfer a lot of dogs out throughout the year. And then we'll do the same for other shelters as we can. We'll take an animal if they're not getting seen at their location. A lot of the times that ends up being cats though.
And so if I understand correctly, because it's the organization is for the city, you guys can't refuse. And do you guys have the rights to refuse animals if you're full, or how does that work?
No, we have to take everyone. We'll try to talk to people and ask if they're willing to foster or if they can bring them back in a day or two. But if they really can't, we will take them and we'll just try to get another animal into a foster home.
So what happens? I mean, do you guys ever get this scenario? Like what happens if you run out of fosters and you're full? I mean, does that mean you got to put the animals down or what?
Nope. So we haven't really seen an issue with running out of fosters yet. It definitely slows down and our fosters absolutely cannot keep up with the amount of animals that come in. But we have pop-up kennels, so we do warehouse some of the dogs. But those are obviously our first priority to get into foster homes. So it's never like a long-term situation, but there's definitely times where we're beyond overwhelmed. And a lot of the times we'll put a Facebook plea up saying we're kind of in crisis mode, and we have a lot of amazing people step up.
That's so awesome. And I'm curious to know, and it's okay if you don't know the stat on this, but I always tell people like fosters are really important. And there's like a life cycle, right? So a foster, whether it's just like personal circumstances or whatever, but do you know like the average lifespan of a person who fosters dogs? For, do you know what the average of that is by any chance?
I don't. I think it kind of depends. We have quite a few fosters though that foster for years and years. A lot of them came from the previous shelter that our CEO was at and came with her over here. A lot of them were with the city before we ever took over and just stayed.
And what's that like for a foster? I know this varies from organization to organization, but for you guys, like a foster in your network, do they have a single point of contact, or is it like email, text? Like, how does that work? I'm curious to know the infrastructure of that. I feel like it's so important.
Yeah. So we actually are in the process of changing a bunch of stuff. Right now they kind of email, we give them a contact list and they email us. And then we have emergency contact phone numbers. But we're actually getting ready to use something called Maddie's Pet Assistant, which is through Maddie's fund. And it's a phenomenal way to communicate with fosters. So we're actually in the process of transitioning to that. And it's online through an app. So it's kind of like text messaging for the foster.
That's cool. So it's like this app system that's just for the foster network. That's really slick. Cool. And you mentioned that there are kids that get to come in and watch you guys. What exactly is that program like? How long has that been going on? And I guess what's the overall message there? Like, what are you guys doing with that?
Yeah, so we have this amazing group that comes in. It stopped when COVID hit, so it's actually just started up again. And typically they come once a week for about a month, and they get to learn pretty much everything they're willing to learn. And it's kids in like at-risk areas. So kids that are at risk for being detained, things like that. And they bring them in here to keep them off the streets at the like high risk times of the evening. And it's amazing to watch these kids. The first time they come in, they want nothing to do with any of us. Most of them say they don't like animals. And then they always come back the second week and they're always super into everything we're doing and have a million questions and are interacting with us. It's really cool to watch.
That is really cool. And is that something that's always been, like, how long has that program been around?
I think they've been doing it for about two and a half years. So almost the whole time we've been going.
Nice. And what would you say would be like someone who's maybe in college or just career change and they're like, I want to get into rescue. Do you have one piece of advice for them, or maybe something that you would have told yourself before you got into it?
Oh my gosh. I don't even know on that one. Probably just prepare to be exhausted, but also be prepared to see way more love than you are even prepared for.
I completely agree with you though on that. I think it's like, this is the reason why people get into this is because it's just, you see one life change and you're just like, this is it. I mean, it's so fulfilling. And what are some, is there anything in the works that you guys are excited about or, coming into, we're like almost halfway through 2022, anything you guys got lined up?
Yeah. So, as I mentioned, education's a big piece of it and helping these families. We're trying to alleviate the, 13 plus dogs that come in each day astray. So we are trying to grow our community, clinic. So once a week, we offer free vaccines for the public, and we are trying to increase that to be full-time and include surgery in that as well. So spay, neuter, all of that care that your animal could possibly need, and it will be free of charge to the community.
That's amazing. Wow. That's fantastic. And stuff like that is just going to help out not only your rescue, but just every rescue in the St. Louis area. So, amazing. And where can we all find you at, you know, reach you, contact you, follow along in the journey, maybe even reach out to help if people in the area are listening?
Yeah. So we are, you can find us online at icarestl.org. We're also on Facebook, at CareSTL. Anyone who, you know, wants to come in, meet an animal or whatever, adopt, foster, volunteer, anything like that, can always call us, at 314-696-624. I'm sorry, 2444.
Awesome. And that'll all be down in the description below. For anyone watching, follow them online, give them a call. Nikki, thank you so much for coming on. It was awesome getting to talk with you.
It was lovely to be here. Thanks for having us.
Anytime.